The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Lilo, award-winning designers of the world's best pleasure objects.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Unfortunately, our scheduled guest, Jamal, canceled on us today. And so, but have no fear, because I got someone even better who happened to be available, which is a miracle because she's very busy. So I'm going to tell you about her. She's an expert, I'll tell you, on sex and parenting. And I know that whenever we tackle how to be a sex positive parent, how to talk to your kids and other young people about sex, you guys always love those shows. So, and if you've got questions about that, about talking to your own kids about sex, about what kinds of sex ed your kids are getting or not getting, you can call us live at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. And if you're not listening live, but you want to answer, you want us to answer a question later on down the road for an Ask Tristan segment, or you just want to leave a comment, you can call our 24-hour voicemail line, 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. So it's very exciting. This week, I just announced that finally, by popular demand, Sex Educator Bootcamp Level 1 is now available online. Round of applause. I clap for myself. Okay, so this is big, guys, because you asked for it. There are plenty of people who can't get to an in-person event, who really want to take my bootcamp courses. And the idea here is that we're going to put all of them online, but we're going to start with level one. And basically, when you register for level one, you're going to get online access to a 90-minute video presentation, a PDF that is packed with information, including the presentation notes, tons of resources, tons of links, a worksheet with exercises to help you develop your personal mission, a live Q&A call with yours truly on July 6th, plus special discount offers on future boot camps, on business coaching sessions, and other products. You can find out all about it and register at sexeducatorbootcamp.com. Now, I'm not doing any special coupon codes. I'm not doing any sales because I have deeply discounted the price. The price is 50% off the usual price, and this is going to be like this only once, this time only, because we're debuting it, and I think there might be a few kinks that we have to work out. Hopefully not, but maybe. And so I'm offering it for the low, 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 low price of $50. So basically, you can sign up before July 6th. I mean, it starts June 30th, and then you have that window of time, June 30th to July 5th, to watch the presentation, and then you get on the conference call with me on July 6th. So sexeducatorbootcamp.com. And speaking of boot camps, as you know, I am bringing my boot camps level 2 and level 3 to Woodhull's Sexual Freedom Summit in Alexandria, Virginia, August 4th. All day August 4th, I will be at the Host Hotel teaching my classes. Level 2 is, the most people have taken level 2, and it is jam-packed with tons of information and definitely explores branding and marketing in deeper terms. Level 3 is brand new. No one's taken it yet. I'm debuting it. And we are going to do specific exercises. You're going to get pitch letters, and we're going to talk about real world issues for sex educators. Level 3 also includes a special presentation by Trina Scott, Cindy Lee Alves, and Ida Mandalay, all members of the Women of Color Sexual Health Network. They'll be doing a presentation as part of my boot camp on advancing racial justice in sex education. So guys, you've got to get to this. And you can go whether you're registered for the summit or not, although the summit is pretty great. And if you go on their website, you can see it's the lineup is pretty fantastic. However you register, you can use a coupon code DEAL25, and you'll get 25% off your registration. Okay, I want to also tell you about the rest of my summer plans. As you probably have heard, June 25th, 4 to 7:30 p.m. in San Diego, I'm going to be the special guest at Poly Talks and Rye Relationships, which is a guided open forum in a Q&A format that covers every possible alternative relationship style you can think of beyond monogamy. It's going to be really fun. It's my very first event in San Diego after all these years, and we are going to tweet out the link. You can register at Eventbrite, and there's also a Facebook group where you can ask questions and post and see who else is going and all that good stuff. And you can always find out about the latest and greatest news and when I'm going to be where on my website, puckerup.com, not safe for work, or tristantaramino.com, it is safe for work. You just click on the tour and look at my calendar and you'll see all the details of all of these. And then, as you know, in July, I'm headed to Dallas. I'm headed back to Dallas. I've been there before and I loved it. Poly Dallas Millennium is presenting their second annual symposium, Designer Relationships. We are going to talk about everything beyond monogamy. Again, this is a little bit more formal. There's a lot of different speakers from all over the country. The speakers are absolutely top-notch, and I think you're going to love it. So you can go to polydallasmillennium.com to register for that. And I want to remind you that one of my great sponsors, Lilo, is having a sale. Use coupon code TristanIda, TristanIda, for 20% off the Ida, which is a remote-controlled couples massager worn during vaginal intercourse. And it lets you not only have a vibrator during intercourse, but it actually also has a remote control, which I think is a ton of fun. So I think we've gotten like all of our news and business out of the way. Let me remind you again, we're live and we're talking about sex and parenting and sex as a parent. 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can also email questions to tristan@puckerup.com, and you can tweet us at Sex Out Loud Radio. So let me tell you about today's guest. Lene St. John is a board-certified sexologist, sexuality coach, and educator, and writer. She received her doctorate in human sexuality from the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, where she focused on child and adolescent sexuality. She develops curriculum, teaches classes, and works with clients to normalize conversations about sexuality between parents and children. Her writing and sex expertise have been featured in various publications, websites, radio shows, and on YouTube. I am so excited to have her for the first time on my show. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Lene.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm so excited to be here.
I mean, as I said at the very top, this is a topic that our listeners really love, and they ask a lot of questions about it. I think this notion of talking to kids about sex has become so charged and politicized and fraught mm-hmm. with all these feelings of like anxiety mm-hmm. and are we doing it right? Are we doing it wrong? And
yeah.
What do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about talking to kids about sex?
Probably the biggest misconception that parents have is that their own experiences are going to be the same experiences that their kids have. I didn't get any sex ed when I was growing up. At least I don't remember anything until I was in college even. I know I sat through classes in they split off the genders and the girls learned about periods.
Yep,
when I was, I think that was sixth grade.
Yep, totally.
But that was like, that was it. And, it's kids just need to know the information, and parents are just scared that they're going to screw their kids up. You know, it's, if they give them too much information, are they going to go out and do it? Are they going to, go out and experiment? Yeah, it's, I think lots of times, though, parents want to sort of protect their kids from the experience that they had.
Mm.
So, yeah. It's,
so it might sort of come from a good place, but
oh yeah,
it
does.
Then it fails miserably, as we know.
Yeah.
Okay, we gotta take our first break because I yapped and yapped at the top of the hour. But I want to remind people that we're talking about sex and parenting. You can call us, tweet us, email us, 866-472-5788. And we will be back with Lene St. John after the break.
Hey, everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
For years now, the Swedish-based designer brand Lilo has been at the forefront of pleasure product technology. Lilo's first product changed the way the adult industry thought about sex toy design upon its original release. With its sleek lines, its graceful shape, and its incredible performance, it was as much a piece of art as it was a pleasure product. Suddenly, Lilo had made it possible to perfectly blend form and function, and they continue to release groundbreaking products year after year. Since then, Lilo has only enhanced their reputation for quality and beauty, and now they lead the luxury industry thanks to a long heritage of innovation. Lilo is the hallmark of personal, intimate pleasure. Lilo is indulgent, sophisticated, elegant, and above all, intensely satisfying. Visit Lilo.com today to start exploring a new sensuality.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today we are talking about sex. Parents to their kids and other young people. And we're talking with Lene St. John, who's an expert in this. Lene, one of the things that you talked about right before the break that I want to jump on is, what is this myth that if we tell kids about sex, they will automatically run out and do it immediately?
Well,
why does that persist?
I have no idea. I mean, it's as if people forget what they were like when they were that age. Mm. So my daughter just finished 26 weeks of sexuality education with the OWL program, the Our Whole Lives program.
Okay, so this is something the Unitarian Universalists do.
Yes.
And it's literally, for people who don't know, it's literally one of the most comprehensive sex ed programs for young people in the country, if not the most comprehensive.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's done by different age groups. And I recommend the facilitator training to people who want to be sex educators. I mean, it's really, really
right.
good. Okay, so she went through this. 26 weeks is a long time.
Yeah, so, well, that is specifically for the age group from 7th grade to 9th grade. Mm-hmm. So she's in that range. And she took this class. It's 26 weeks long. So she just graduated on Tuesday. And so I've been trying to ask her, you know, questions about, like, what did you get out of it? And it's a little bit, it's tough to, you know, it's kind of like pulling teeth for this kid sometimes. But I got it out of her. And I remember she told me once, there were two separate days. One day they talked about what they wanted to do with their lives. Like, what did they want to achieve or accomplish? Which doesn't feel like it's related to sex, right? But then the next conversation or exercise she told me about was talking about when they thought they would be ready to be parents. Mm. And the takeaway my kid got out of that, and I had her repeat it. I had to write it down because I thought it was amazing. She said, if you're not ready to take responsibility for the possibility of having a kid, then you shouldn't be having sex.
Yes.
Bam.
No, I've definitely heard that before. No, I've definitely heard that before, right? It's like...
Yeah. But this was coming from a 14-year-old now.
Wow.
That was her. She's never heard anybody say that in particular. Well, I don't think I've said it to her. But that was her takeaway. Hmm. And it just... It's astounding to me. You know, when we think of all the kids that people don't want to talk about sex. They don't want to talk about, you know, anything related to penises and vaginas, you know. This kid has now had more sex ed than some physicians in, you know, coming out of medical school.
I was just going to say, than physicians in medical school. She's had more sex ed than psychologists who are sex addiction specialists. I mean, the list could go on, right?
Exactly. Isn't that scary?
And so you have two daughters.
Yes.
One is 14, the other one is 12.
Yes.
And so you have these two subjects to kind of practice on all the time.
Oh, yeah, they're totally my guinea pigs. I mean,
and so what works with them? Like, what, because you said even you feel like you were sort of having to drag it out of her. Like, what kinds of strategies do you have, techniques? Like, how do you bring this stuff up? How do you make them comfortable? How do you make them want to open up to you?
I mean, to be honest, it's kind of ridiculous how many things I try to make a teachable moment. I mean, we'll talk about, well, one of the conversations we were talking about this OWL program and what the things were that she got out of it. And so she, my littlest, she's 12, was also in the car when we were talking about this. And I said, well, what was something you didn't know, something you didn't learn from me? And she said, well, I learned that, my oldest said this, she said, I learned that the sponge is both a barrier method and it has spermicide in it. And little sister's in the background listening in, and she's like, what's that? And my oldest was like, hey, you'll learn about it. And she kind of hesitated. And she was like, well, this is a teaching moment. And she said, a barrier method. What do you think that is? And the littlest was like, oh, barrier method, it's blocking sperm? And she's like, yeah. So the two of them are talking, and she says, and spermicides are, and the youngest is like, what? And then they started to talk about how it kills sperm, you know, and it was really kind of cool how the two of them were just talking back and forth then, right?
Wait, isn't the sponge off the market?
It was off the market for a really long time, but I had heard that it is back.
Really?
Yeah, I want to say I saw it in the store myself.
Okay.
Certainly. I mean, this is right way back when
I remember back the day. No, I used the sponge, and I know the sponge well. But then they took it off the market.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know it was off the market for a while, but they definitely covered it again, so
okay.
I'm guessing it must be back. I should Google CVS and see if it's out there or something.
Yeah, or Google your favorite drugstore, people. I'm sorry that I don't know
exactly.
That sponge is, I should know if the sponge is an available method of birth control. I just don't. So these conversations seem very specific. I mean, how do parents... You had something to work with there because you had one kid talking about something she learned to the other kid, right? But mm-hmm. if someone is not already having sex ed or they only got that dumb film strip about your period, mm-hmm. how do we begin the conversation? And when do we begin it?
Well, you can talk about it based on things that show up in TV or ads or stuff that's going on in movies. So I'll give you an example. It's kind of an older example now, but it's the first one that popped into my head. When Rihanna came out with the song S&M,
mm-hmm.
I remember my kids singing that song in the car, like at the top of their lungs.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, kind of like side-eyeing them, like, really, you guys know what this song is about? So I finally asked him, do you know what it's about? And my youngest at the time was like, sex. I said, well... those letters mean something, and I tried to explain to them what, you know, that it's sadism, masochism, it has to do with giving and receiving pain and how that can feel good. And so we started to talk about spanking, and I said, well, have you ever been spanked and instead of hurting, it actually felt good? And my oldest was like, yeah. So I was like,
what?
Okay. Exactly.
In like, what context? Wait, what?
Like, okay, sometimes I like pat him on the butt. You know, it's kind of one of those affectionate touch things you
right.
do at home. So yeah, I was like spanking her and she's like, yeah, I guess it felt good. Like, so we have embarrassing moments for me. We've got, you know.
Right.
But it's certainly not a non-embarrassing moment, but if we can laugh about it.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
And do you feel like, I feel like that's a great tip, which is that, of course, like, on the one hand, on one side, outside of one of our mouths, I'm going to say that again. Like, from one side of the mouth, people are saying, like, don't tell children about sex. Don't tell them about sex. Protect them from this information. But on the other hand, we have this sex-saturated media, right?
Yes.
So it's like,
yes.
If you're watching TV at 8 o'clock at night on a major network, characters yeah. are talking about sex, or there's
yeah.
an implication that they had sex, or something's happened as a result of sex, right? So
yeah.
it's like they don't have to be online, like Googling hardcore porn.
Oh, not at all.
See all this stuff. And so you think oh. all of that stuff is an opportunity to sort of have a conversation.
Absolutely. All of it. You know, right now I am rewatching the old TV show, The OC.
Ooh, The OC, an oldie but a goodie. Yes.
You know, so I'm watching that with the girls right now, and we're at the point in the series where Seth and Summer have just had sex. And so, you know, teachable moment. We talk about, like, what they're doing, what's happening. We also talk a little bit about, that happened just a couple episodes ago. This is the one now where one of the characters is sleeping with the mom. And it's interesting to see how even, however many years is that now, 10, 12 years ago that came out?
Yep.
How something that's controversial, like, older woman, younger man, you know, he's supposed to be 18 in the show, but it's still, he's the son of, you know.
One of the other.
Right. Yeah, he's the former boyfriend of her daughter. And it's, yeah, so the conversation's about... what's appropriate, power differential, and stuff like that. That's been good fodder as well.
And so yeah, I'm interested. I mean, did they automatically sort of see a difference? Did they say, okay, there are these two people who are obviously peers who just slept together, mm-hmm. and now like three episodes later, there's this younger guy with this older woman. Did they articulate anything about that to you?
Yeah, they were bothered because they could see that Marissa, the daughter, was not going to handle it well if it was found out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the episode we just saw was the one where she does find out. And my youngest daughter did one of those things where she was talking to the TV and she got up and she had to go to a different room. She was like, ah, this is like, no, she shouldn't hear this. Ah. So it was really, yeah.
Okay. And so, okay. Oh, I got to take another break. I was just about to ask another question. what I want to know, what I want you to think about on the break is, so now by the time now someone has turned 14, I want to know how much they should know. Like, what have you taught your 14-year-old about sex? Because I think that's a good gauge. And I think it's really interesting too, the idea that the information could get passed down to the one who's only 2 years younger, right?
Yep.
But let's take a commercial break, hear from our great sponsors, including The Pleasure Chest and Lilo. The Pleasure Chest has these amazing workshops every week at nearly all their locations. They have free sex ed workshops. And coming up, what we've got is in Chicago, June 15th, The Ultimate O for Him. In New York, June 15th, Pleasure Her Perfect with Charlie. In New York later on Friday, the 17th, Awkward Sex and the City comedy show. In LA, Tuesday, June 14th, we've got Performance Anxiety Comedy Night, which they do at the Pleasure Chest, which is really funny. And that's just $7 to get in. And then Wednesday, June 15th, the free sex ed class, Bottom Secrets for Tops with Chris. So all that sounds fun. You can go to pleasurechest.com and find out more about all those events and more. Stay tuned. More talk about kids and sex when we get back.
For years now, the Swedish-based designer brand Lilo has been at the forefront of pleasure product technology. Lilo's first product changed the way the adult industry thought about sex toy design upon its original release. With its sleek lines, its graceful shape, and its incredible performance, it was as much a piece of art as it was a pleasure product. Suddenly, Lilo had made it possible to perfectly blend form and function, and they continue to release groundbreaking products year after year. Since then, Lilo has only enhanced their reputation for quality and beauty, and now they lead the luxury industry thanks to a long heritage of innovation. Lilo is the hallmark of personal, intimate pleasure. Lilo is indulgent, sophisticated, elegant, and above all, intensely satisfying. Visit Lilo.com today to start exploring a new sensuality.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen. There is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I am talking today with Lene St. John, who is an expert in teaching and helping parents talk to their kids about sex. And I asked you before the break, so your oldest is 14. What have you taught your 14-year-old girl about sex?
So we have been really open with stuff in our household since she was about 5 years old. It was actually a little bit before that too, but she was born in Germany and we moved here back to the States when she was five. And, you know, I started talking about everything. Well, let me tell you a story that happened, which was the very first sort of interaction about sex that we had. And that'll give you an indication of where this is going.
Okay.
So one morning, I was brushing my teeth in the bathroom, and I had left a bullet vibrator on the next to the sink. And I could hear my little five-year-old bounding through the house, and I could hear it coming my way. So I took the bullet, and I put it in the drawer, and I closed the drawer. That drawer I put it in is the one where hairbrushes were, so she comes in, and she opens that drawer. And she sees it right away. I'm like, oh. You know, so it's like, Mom, what's this? And I said, it's nothing. Turn it off. You know, put it away. And she's like, no, what is it? And she's playing with it. And I sigh and I'm thinking, teachable moment. And I said, it's a vibrator. She's like, what's it for? By now she's playing with it. She's figuring out how to turn it on. And I said, it's for your private parts. And she's got it on. And now she's going across the bridge of her nose and like over her forehead, like, And she says, it tickles. And I said, imagine what it feels like on your private parts. And she turned it off, put it in the drawer, closed the drawer, and bounced out of the bathroom. And I was standing there like, oh my God, what just happened there?
Right.
You know, and she was, you know, totally didn't care, right? So, it started with that. I've got books in the house here that relate to sex. They're all in, the kids' ones mostly are in German, except I have all the Robie Harris books too, which are amazing. And her first question to me was, how do you have sex and not get pregnant? And that was like, it was shocking that that was a question that she was going to ask, you know? But we'd already read the books, so she already knew sort of the basic plumbing, you know, the plumbing and prevention stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an astounding question. So then all of the stuff that we've covered, I would say the most important stuff is the stuff that's bigger than what penises do with vaginas. And I have a manuscript that I wrote, and I have these five building blocks to a healthy sexuality. And these five building blocks are sort of the things that I've based a lot of talking to my kids about sex on, which is communication, consent, respect, pleasure, and fantasy. And each one of those breaks down into sort of sub units or whatever. And for emotion or for communication, I've talked to my kids about feelings, emotions, making sure they understand that emotion is not a bad thing, and that applies for boys and girls. That they should be able to communicate what they want, what they need with their partner, you know, when they get to that point, but they should also be able to communicate it with, you know, with friends. Because a lot of the stuff, that stuff will, you know, is stuff they practice in their relationships with their friends as well.
Mm-hmm. Like boundaries and limits.
Absolutely. Being able to read body language, like one of the things, we used to play a game, the tickle game, right? Where you just like, everyone's on the ground and you're tickling and somebody's going to pee pretty soon because it's, you know, it's getting too much. But, I had a moment where I could see myself being so much bigger than my kids who were, you know, on their back being tickled to the point where they couldn't take it anymore. And I realized that that is probably pretty scary for a little kid where they have someone who's so much bigger and they have no control over getting this person to stop. And I said, you know, you guys, if you ever want me to stop, I'll stop. And you just tell me to stop and I'll stop. And then when you want me to go, you know, just tell me. And so we went back to tickling, and they, you know, tickle, tickle, tickle. And they would say, stop. And so I would freeze. And then they would get this little look on their face with a big smile, and they would say, go. And then we'd start again, you know. So that was the second block, consent, right? Learning your boundaries, taking ownership for your body, learning how to say no, and also how to accept no, right? There's lots of kids that shop for answers, and that's not necessarily a skill you want to teach them for when they're, you know, having relationships.
Right, of course.
So respect is having a sense of healthy respect for yourself and for others, and a healthy body image, being okay with nakedness, also that sort of do no harm to others. And then I also, under respect, I also have virginity in there as well, because I would like to change the topic of virginity to a conversation about sexual debut instead. I think the term...
Okay, tell me about that.
Yeah, virginity is just such a poor concept for describing something that should be a positive thing. It also, I mean, virginity, you've got all sorts of issues with how it is, you know, there are people who put value on that, and then it has negative consequences if somebody, say, isn't able to choose when they have sex. Say they are someone who has received unwanted sexual contact. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't get to choose necessarily when they become sexual. But it also, the term virginity doesn't really acknowledge when kids who are gay or lesbian become sexual. Mm-hmm. Because if you're defining it based on what a penis does in a vagina, then it's really limiting. So we've talked about that in our house as well. Pleasure is one that sort of freaks parents out, but...
Oh, I could imagine. I mean, right? Because I think everyone's with you up to the point of like, oh, consent and bodily autonomy and boundaries. It's like everyone can get behind that.
Yep.
Just like they can get behind birth control and reproductive anatomy and blah, 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 right? And anything on sexually transmitted infections, of course, please load their brains with that information. Okay, but now you want to talk about pleasure. Now we're going to apply the brakes, usually.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I mean, the one thing I try to point out, though, is that pleasure is so much more than just sexual, right? You have the power of a hug. You have the power of touch. When somebody really needs a hug, hugging them, they could start crying, you know, or if you're already crying, getting a hug might be able to soothe you, right? It's a recognition that sexual pleasure should be there for everyone involved, right? Not just one person. So pleasure is a tougher concept. I mean, even today on Facebook, one of my favorite authors, Peggy Orenstein, posted a picture that was a photo or a snapshot of American Girl Publishing's book, Care and Keeping of You Too. It's a book for older girls. And this snapshot shows a picture, a drawn illustration of the vulva, but there are some labels missing.
Like, well, so what's labeled? First of all, okay, what's labeled, and then figure out what's not.
Yeah, it was vagina, pubic hair, urethra. You know, I showed the picture to my daughter, and she's like, "Oh, they're missing the clitoris, the clitoral hood, the inner and outer labia." And, you know, it's amazing to me that it's 2016. Okay, granted, I think that was published in 2013, but still.
But still, this is not from the 1950s.
Exactly. It's only a few years ago, and we still have a book that is supposed to be for older girls.
Like teenagers.
Presumably. I mean, who are the older girls that are the audience then, I guess, what I wonder. But even then, I would still tell it to my 12-year-old. I would have told her when she was 8. So you were also asking, like, what she has been taught, right? Mm-hmm. when my daughters were 8, I think I started to talk to them about adult content on the internet. They had a friend over, and the friend was Googling boobs because she was starting to get breast buds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I pulled my kids aside later, and I said, there are things you can't unsee. So just, you know, don't use the internet for sex education, you know? And so starting at 8 or 9, that was the case. And it makes sense because now if age 10 is the average age of first viewing of porn online for kids, you definitely need to get ahead of that, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The statistic I heard recently was 10% of girls are getting their period as early as 9 nowadays. So to me, that tells me you have to get ahead of that as well and tell them at 8, you know, at least, you know, familiarize them with the idea or the concept that they may start to bleed. Mm-hmm. It's unnecessarily scary for a girl to start bleeding and not know what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Plenty of friends of mine have told that story.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they said like no one ever said anything, or I grew up with all brothers and my mom never said anything. And then and then I started to get my period and I was like, I'm dying.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Which is like an awful, awful thing to do to a child.
Absolutely. It's a horrible thing to allow a kid to think that they're dying. I mean. Anyway.
Okay, so you bring up porn, and that's kind of what I want to jump into next, but we've got to take another break.
Okay. I have one more building block, too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that we could talk about porn in that one, though.
We'll talk about the final building block of the five, and we'll talk about porn. So don't go anywhere. More with Lene when we return.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, The Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more. Because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
For years now, the Swedish-based designer brand Lilo has been at the forefront of pleasure product technology. Lilo's first product changed the way the adult industry thought about sex toy design upon its original release. With its sleek lines, its graceful shape, and its incredible performance, it was as much a piece of art as it was a pleasure product. Suddenly, Lilo had made it possible to perfectly blend form and function, and they continue to release groundbreaking products year after year. Since then, Lilo has only enhanced their reputation for quality and beauty, and now they lead the luxury industry thanks to a long heritage of innovation. Lilo is the hallmark of personal, intimate pleasure. Lilo is indulgent, sophisticated, elegant, and above all, intensely satisfying. Visit Lilo.com today to start exploring a new sensuality.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking with Lene St. John, who is an expert in talking to parents about how to talk to their kids about sex. And before the break, you talked a little bit about porn and, you know, the hot button issue. Within the hot button issue of talking to kids about sex is, of course, porn. But you wanted to do your fifth building block first. Remind us what the first four are and then tell us what the fifth one is.
Yep. So five building blocks to a healthy sexuality: communication, consent, respect, pleasure, and the last one is fantasy. So fantasy is also a tough one for adults. It's actually even tough for adults as adults.
I was just going to say, yeah. Yes, I've taught classes on fantasies to grown-ups. Yes.
So probably the biggest takeaway from this one is that kids know what we learn about sex outside of formal education is fantasy. So porn, all the adult content out there, unless it has like an educational, unless it's adult content that has an educational component to it, right? Because we know people out there that have good education videos and things out there, right? You yourself. but anything else is fantasy, you know, whether it's a TV show, a segment on, you know, whatever sitcom or dramedy or whatever is out there. All of that stuff is fantasy. It's someone else's, you know, sexual issue. That it's okay to have fantasies, and that they all don't have to be acted on or fulfilled. So yeah,
right.
So those are the five building blocks.
And so how do you bring up the issue of porn? You know, I saw that you recently posted on Facebook something about you're part of an interview series called Let's Talk with Kids About Sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you were noticing that the organizer made some references to porn, basically saying, you know, all porn is bad and degrading, which is, you know, kind of a party line for a lot of people.
Right.
And what do you do when you hear that? When you're expected to sort of toe that party line, which is, if you're into talking to kids about sex, this is what we're going to tell them about porn. It's bad. It's all bad.
Yeah. I mean, I think, what is the number? It's between 50 and 70% of women have rape fantasies, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the topic, actually. That was the...
than porn. Okay.
So it was specific about that particular part of what, you know, what some of the genre contains, right? It's a tough topic even with adults because, you know, there are preconceived notions that they really want to hold tight to. And it's really difficult to try to, like, you know, kind of get in there and try to change minds or change... get them to think a different way. But I think giving them information like that is the answer. I mean, you have to have people you can ask to get the right answers, right? So there are educators out there to be found who have this information, who can share that with you. But, you know, helping someone understand that, well, it's not necessarily a bad thing. You can be a feminist and have a rape fantasy. You can be a feminist and enjoy porn. You know, those two things are not mutually exclusive.
But I feel like, you know, when I was a kid, obviously it was before the internet, right? So there was not a lot, there was no discussion of porn unless it was like someone got their hands on, you know, their dad's like Playboy magazine, right?
Yeah.
And now kids do have access much more readily available to them to much more hardcore images than Playboy.
Yep.
And I wonder just how you as a parent can help them navigate things they may see when they're at their friend's house or someone might show them something on their phone or wherever.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I mean, the message that I gave my kids right away was there are things you can't unsee. And when we sat down to have that conversation, I used examples that weren't adult related. You know, I explained that Alien, for example, when the alien comes out of the guy's stomach.
Oh, yeah.
That image is burned into my head, as is Jaws when she gets pulled under the water.
Okay, but those are, like, scary, and sex shouldn't be scary.
No, but some of the things that kids are seeing out there aren't necessarily things that they're prepared for, right?
Okay.
So, you know, if a kid sees a woman giving a man a blowjob. She sees an image of a penis in the mouth. And usually when you put something in your mouth, you eat it, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a thought that it could be hurting the person. And, you know, sometimes the look of pleasure on the face can also look up like pain. So you're seeing something that's not, that's like, you don't have the context for it at that age, right? Just like when you're little, you think that the woman pees inside another, you know, or the man pees inside the woman when they have sex, right?
Right, right.
You don't know that there's something else there. So without context, it's difficult to explain, you know? So, I mean, telling kids that if they have a question, please come to me. I've got, you know, books. I have resources that, you know, I people I can ask that I can get an answer for you. If you do this on your own, if you go out there trying to find this information, you know, at so-and-so's house or, you know, on the lunch hour when you're all on your phones, you might see something that just is really confusing and you won't know exactly what's happening there other than that everyone wants to be looking at it. But
well, right, of course.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's like a train wreck. It's easier to, well, let's see here. How do I describe this? Let's say there's erotica, like a book you could read, like 50 Shades of Grey, right? Mm-hmm. I think that is less dangerous, a book in general, I should say, I won't use that one in particular, but a book is less potentially scarring because you're reading something and you don't necessarily have the pictures in your head to fill in the blanks, right? So if you're, let's see, how do I describe this? Let's say you're a kid and you're a preschooler and someone is talking about a rooster's comb, right? If you're a little kid, your only frame of reference about a comb is the thing you use in your hair, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So until someone points out that the thing on their head is their comb, like, oh, then it sort of, they're able to sort of re-catalog everything in their head that there are now two different kinds of comb, right? So, I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent here.
Well, my question is, I mean, I feel like this assumes that I understand seeing something that's confusing because you just don't know, like you haven't seen it before, right? So you're like, what's going on there? But it also assumes that confusing is always bad. I mean, sometimes we see things for the first time and they're not bad and we can just be sort of curious about them, can't we?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't mean to say that all things that you see or that you're curious about are bad. Sometimes it's the reactions of the adults that find out that you're seeing it, can put a negative spin on it though.
Right. Like if they find out that their kids are looking at porn, they're like, don't look at that.
Yeah.
And suddenly it becomes even more kind of charged and forbidden and taboo. And of course, all they want to do is look at it
look
more.
At it. Find more. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Or a scary thing, they may be aroused even by seeing some of these images. But yeah, I mean, some of these, it depends on what it is. I mean, some of these things have a context now.
And then some of them don't. I mean, obviously that's like, if you stumbled upon the end of a porn scene that was really high energy and really rough and really intense and nothing, you saw nothing before that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how you would be like, I'm confused about how they got there.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay, we're out of time.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how that happened. I really don't know how that happened, but it did.
Yeah.
Let me tell people how they can find you. Lynae St. John is a board-certified sexologist, sexuality coach, an educator, and a writer. You can find out all about her at The Mama Sutra. The Mama Sutra is what Lynae is also known as. TheMamaSutra.net, everyone, not .com, .net. And you can also follow her on Twitter at The Mama Sutra.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Lynae. And if there are parents out there who want help, who need coaching, who don't know where to start, they should find you.
Absolutely. My coaching is like private personal sex ed.
Great.
I can help you walk through stuff.
Great.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for filling in the last minute. That was amazing. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or you know a parent who needs to hear it, you can go to voiceamerica.com and search for Sex Out Loud, where you can listen on demand, download the MP3. You can also subscribe to this as a podcast on iTunes, and we love it when you do that. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. My guest is going to be someone we had lined up earlier and we've rescheduled, and that is the performer Lyric Seal. And we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things, including the intersections of sexuality and disability. Until then, you can find me on facebook.com/AskTristan. On Twitter, the show is at Sex Out Loud Radio, and I am at Tristan Taramino. You may have heard through the grapevine, I'm on Instagram now, and I post really cute pictures of my dogs and sometimes sex events and spankings and food, mostly dessert. So you can find me on Instagram at Tristan Taramino. And then in the meantime, until I see you, well, sort of see you, until I talk to you again next Friday, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.